Our scripture lessons this morning come from Isaiah 60, 1 through 6, and Matthew 2, 1 through 12. A reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
And from Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. These are our sacred stories.
Thanks be to God.
Daoud Hari, a native of the Darfur region in Sudan, wrote, "The Sahara is an impossible place. All the trails are erased with each wind. You are modern and you think your compass and your GPS will keep you from trouble, but the batteries will give out in your GPS, or the sand will ruin it. Your compass may break or become lost as you try to put away your bedding one morning in a hard sandstorm. So you will want to know the ways that have worked for thousands of years. If you are good, like my ancestors, you will put a line of sticks in the sand at night, using the stars to mark your next morning's direction of travel." Friday was Twelfth Night. Saturday, yesterday, was Epiphany. Today is the day that churches that don't meet every day celebrate Epiphany. Epiphany is when we remember how wise ones from the east saw something in the night sky that set their paths into the unknown until they eventually found Jesus. Epiphany is the bridge between Christmas and the new year. It is when we must decide if we will make our way with intention, doing the work of Christmas, of Emmanuel, of God with us, even after the trees are put away and the manger scene has been put back in the attic. What does the manifestation of God in Jesus mean in a world where so many fear for their lives? where too many innocents are slaughtered? How are we to live in the face of violence, of scarcity for so many, when wealth abounds for so few? How are we to travel with intention into the coming year, confronting the hard and harsh realities of our world? Because we focused our Advent on the Nativity story from Luke, we've not heard today's story until today. In Luke, there are no strangers who travel far in search of a new king whose presence they divined from their star work. But even taking this Advent and Christmas Eve off, most of us are no less familiar with the story of the wise ones. Church lore has even created names for them over the years. In addition to the names, we've given them more and more elaborate modes of transportation. It's not just camels anymore. Horses and elephants are now common visitors to the manger. In our Christmas pageants, these characters don bathrobes and crowns and carry gifts right to the newborn Jesus. The wise ones are the stuff of Christmas cards and lawn art. We've taken them out of their story, where they come to the home of Mary and Joseph when Jesus is no longer an infant, and we've placed them next to the shepherds out back in the manger with the animals. But more than that, we've forgotten how different they are from Mary and Joseph. Matthew tells us that the wise men came from the east, maybe from Persia, what is now Iraq and Iran, what was once Assyria and Babylon. The wise ones who visited Jesus and Mary and Joseph probably worshipped many gods. They likely practiced many things outside the Jewish norm: divination, magic, astrology. They were strangers, complete outsiders. In some ways, they seem to fit better in Luke's nativity, where women are prophets and shepherds are the heralds of good news, where the old speak with angels. And yet, the wise ones are outsiders in that list, too. The wise ones act with intention. They see a star, a sign, and they choose to seek its meaning. They choose to journey, to set out toward the unknown. L.R. Nost writes, "Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally." Not with time, but with intention. Intention. What intention will guide our steps this year? What determination? Even when we know little more than the direction pointed out by the sticks we've left in the sand, what plans will we make? Epiphany tells the story of people who looked into the night sky and saw something, mystery, a guide, and then they set out on a journey of discovery. They gathered supplies and gifts and saddled their camels or donkeys or elephants, and they left. The wise ones knew the signs in the sky pointed to something important, and they set off. First, they asked the only one they could imagine might know, King Herod. Herod was frightened when he learned that there were signs that the long-awaited Messiah had come. Herod was a paranoid leader who had killed 3 of his own sons and his favorite wife to ensure his throne. And when Herod was troubled, so was Jerusalem. Herod plotted to use the wise ones to discover Jesus' location. Herod, through the chief priests and the scribes of the people, knew to send the wise ones to Bethlehem. Why not let them do all the legwork and then have them report back to me, he must have thought. And so, little knowing the plot, But following their intention and the star's illumination, the wise ones set out again, this time toward Bethlehem. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The wise ones return home by another way, a way not illumined. They greet darkness again as they make their road by walking it, knowing little more than the sticks left in the sand to point the way. Those sticks in the sand require intentionality. They require work and effort. We stand at the cusp of a new year, a year full of possibility, of potential, full of choices, opportunities, and hope. We stand at the cusp of a new year, full of worry, dismay, fear, challenges, pain, and anxiety. It's all here, the hope and the despair, it's all here, the work and the worry. Epiphany reminds us that we do not go alone. This community travels together. We go with one another and with intention into this journey, into this new year. The God we meet as an infant, the God we welcome into this world as a little child, Emmanuel, God with us, this God, this journeying God, comes with us each step we take, each walk we make with intention as we work for justice and peace in our world. Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The trouble with the stars that beckon us to follow them is that we can never know at the outset of our journey where the light will lead. But really, if the journey is not about where we're going, but rather how we're going, the intention with which we travel, then we can journey with a plan on the paths we make while walking them. The wise ones set out toward the unknown horizon, but they go with a plan, with gifts they feel certain will matter. The wise ones give Jesus three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Much has been said about the symbolism of these gifts. This began in the Middle Ages when every verse of the Bible was interpreted as an allegorical symbol. For these gifts, the rationale has remained, and many are still taught that the gold signifies the baby would be a king, and the frankincense and myrrh were for his royal burial and death. Death and burial. But why deliver mysterious symbols to this child? Symbols it would take centuries to decipher. And why undertake such a journey to deliver them? The Gospel of Matthew is the only place in the Bible where the wise men are mentioned, and they and their gifts are only mentioned once. Three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Valuable assets in averting the ominous perils that follow on the heels of the visit of the wise ones. What better than gold for buying safe passage out of Jerusalem when so many baby boys were being slaughtered? What better than medicinal and funeral herbs to be exchanged for food at the market on the way to Egypt, or for housing in Egypt, or for clothing to make them blend in better with their surroundings during their 2 years as refugees? And when, after the death of Herod, they returned to Galilee, what remained of those three gifts could make that journey possible. These gifts, the ones that perhaps keep Jesus and his parents safe as they flee a tyrant, These gifts require that the wise ones not only set out, but that they plan, they prepare, they take what they think they might need and what they want to give. How do we set out on our journey this year? What gifts do we need to plan to give to this world that needs so much? What preparations do we need to make for our own survival? Sandstorms will come and erase our familiar trails. Clouds cover the stars. We must be intentional. We must place the sticks in the sand that will point us in the right direction come morning. It is only with intention that we will move through despair to determination, through worry to work, through apathy to empathy. We must, like those visitors from the East, plan and prepare. What intention will guide our steps? What gifts will we present to the Christs we meet and each face? My prayer is that as we go together, we will love intentionally, extravagantly, that we will love. Amen.